where my mantle is. We'd like to call the regular meeting of February 3rd to order. There's a determination of the quorum. We have a quorum. Currently not present is Trustee Karen Lovejoy Rowe and Trustee John Newman. If you're able to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silent prayer. Remain standing for a moment of silent prayer, please. Thank you. We have a small agenda today. The first item is approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Support Peterson.
Motion Eldridge, support Peterson. Any comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. For the consent agenda, we have the minutes of the January 20th regular meeting and statements and checks for February 3rd.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support Thornton.
Support Thornton. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number five is the attorney's report. Mr. Winters.
Madam Chair, I'll be very brief tonight. I did want to take a moment at least give, I guess, a shout out again to this township board as well as all members of the township community who came out on January 14th and January 28th for these public informational meetings this township board and administrative staff organized. I think it was very telling to see how many people were able to brave some of the worst weather in the month of January in terms of coming out just to be informed. And I really think that speaks volumes to the township's level of commitment in regards to being open with the township's residents as to what we know about the data centers and the plans to go forward to us at a site that is deemed to be totally unacceptable to the township, that being Textile Bridge Road. At the same time, I did want to take a moment and update the board on one item in regards to the so-called data centers. U of M held their so-called public meeting on Thursday, January 29th, and as was somewhat predicted during our meeting on the 28th, it was not really a meeting where you could hear a presentation, ask intelligent questions, receive answers. It was more like, someone's phrased, like a science fair where you walked around and saw these posters and could maybe ask a question or two of someone standing at the poster board. Someone described it as being like a show and tell. But there's one issue also that still bothers me because it's not true. It's not factual. Chris Kolb, the vice president for the University of Michigan Government Relations, keeps making the excuse that the reason why the township cannot be allowed to be involved in negotiations between U of M and, for all practical purposes, the state of Michigan in regards to the former GM site is because that's basically a private transaction. That's not true. That property that we have pointed out to them as being the appropriate site is owned by the state of Michigan through RAD. That stands for the Willow Run Arsenal for Democracy. While that property is being leased to ACM, a part of it, it's still owned by the state of Michigan. They're the ones who received the quitclaim deed. And at the same time, U of M is a public institution, and this township has every right to be involved in those negotiations, especially when it was U of M who involved a third party in order to get the $100 million subsidy from the state of Michigan to begin with. That third party I'm referring to is Ann Arbor Spark. When they had a choice to seek support from this township or an economic organization such as Ann Arbor Spark to make application for the $100 million, they chose to go to Ann Arbor Spark. They themselves involved a private third party in those negotiations. Finally, I'll leave it with this last comment. We did receive, I did share with all of you, a letter from Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, dated January 30th, addressed to the interim president, Domenico Grasso, where she expresses her anger and frustration because she had been told by U of M they were looking at multiple locations, only to be corrected that evening by the township's own constituents that that was not true and that the site selection still came back to either Textile Road as well or the former GM property. I agree with Congressman Dingell when she says that, quote, Ypsilanti Township does not view U of M as a good neighbor, nor has U of M's behavior gained anyone's trust. If it is true that the project has been narrowed to two sites, it has been clear the Ypsilanti Township does not support the Textile Road location, but is not opposed to development at Willow Run. If that is the case, I hope U of M is paying attention to this feedback. The University of Michigan has significant work to do to build trust with the community, and restoring that trust must be U of M's top priority in fostering a successful partnership, unquote. That is Congresswoman Debbie Dingell's last paragraph in her letter dated January 30th. All that I would add parenthetically is that now that it's been narrowed to two sites, and she recognizes that it's clear township does not support the Textile Road location. All of those who have been copied on the township board's resolution back in August now need more than ever to step up and publicly support the township's request that it not be located on the Textile Road location, and that those two data centers, if they are going to be built, are built over there on the former site of the General Motors property. So I think we're getting closer. I think you are making some headway in pushing people towards that location, away from the banks of the Huron River. And all that I can say again is thank this board very much for allowing all of us to be involved in this public meetings, and all the support your staff also has given all of us and putting our case out to the public so there would be nothing hidden from them in regards to what our efforts have been to try and make sure that 144 acres remains undeveloped and not become the site of two data centers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Winters. And I didn't know if I heard you. Did you mention that she also requested a formal public town hall-style meeting that brings experts together to answer communication in an open and collective setting? So she is asking for not having a science fair type public meeting, to have one like our town hall meeting, or like she has had when the U.S. Post Office was having lots of issues with delivery of mail. Congresswoman Dingell called a meeting at the Marriott, and it was probably at least 800 people there, and they were set up in chairs, and there was questions and answers, and people heard the questions and they heard the response. That did not happen at the U of M science fair style event. So I also really appreciate Congresswoman Dingell coming out, because she can make a difference, and I think her letter will make a difference. I received a text today from one of the county commissioners, and they said they're going to bring to the county commissioner the request to move it from the Textile Road site. So It's very good news. So, I mean, it's been a lot of work, Mr. Winters, all the time that you've put into it, and the people who've assisted, but I think there is hope to move it off the banks of the Huron River to another site, either not in Ypsilanti Township or to another site. But we can't give up. We got to keep pushing and keep bringing it to the attention. And we need the environmental groups to go on record and support the township's position, the residents' position, that it not be on the banks of the Huron River. So we'll keep pushing. And I want to thank every resident and board member that our board members tried to get in. They couldn't get the registration filled up too quickly, so our board couldn't, all of our board members could not get in. But the residents that attended, they were so cool. They were so knowledgeable. They were asking the right questions. They were tough questions, which is what local government often hears. But I don't think the University of Michigan, who were in front of their boards, expected the great questions that our residents asked and demanded answers. And Congresswoman Dingell heard it, and she responded. So let's keep pushing. We can make a difference. We already have, but we have to keep. We cannot let up. And just great thanks to all the residents who took the time to come up to our Wednesday meeting and the Thursday meeting at the Marriott. So if we have to call another one, we will. Once we get any more information, our goal is to keep this open dialogue on what the University of Michigan is trying to do in our community. So thank you, Mr. Winters. All right, under new business, we have approval of PASC photography to videotape Board of Trustees meetings in the amount of $300 per meeting, which is budgeted as a pilot project.
So moved.
Motion, Eldridge.
Support.
Support, Thornton. Discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, in the past, when we have done pilot program, I noticed. Let me first say that I hear by taping, we're getting a great response from the residents. So it's not to shoot it down. But in the past, when we've done a pilot program, we had put a date when the pilot program would end. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't came back and got an extension.
Right.
But I think out of fairness, there's a numerous other people, well, not numerous, a couple of people have had pilot programs. It's so important to put a date when in their contract.
Right.
And I would like to do a friendly amendment to those who voted down there that we would do 6 months and review it after that.
The motion was made by Eldridge and supported by Thornton. Do you accept that friendly amendment?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
It's a good point. My apologies. I should have put that in the memo, and I didn't do that this time.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would like to make a friendly amendment to allow our IT department to support having board meetings that are Zoom related.
Zoom or live stream?
Live streaming.
That's actually my question.
Yeah, it was a second amendment, and I have to ask the makers of the motion. And then, yeah, wait a minute. There was a motion to approve it. The first motion to amend was by Trustee Peterson, and that was accepted. And then the second one is to look at live streaming to add to this motion. So when you vote on it, those two amendments would be part of it. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Are we clear?
Madam Chair?
Trustee Peterson?
Because there is two amendments, are we taking those two amendments separate? Because right now, we're geared on the pilot program to have a date in the contract. So how are you going to amend?
I was going to put them both in.
You're putting them in, but are they voted on separately?
When we vote on it, we could vote separately or put them
together. Because on the agenda, it is just about videotaping
right.
with the photographer. But commissioner added another piece to this, and it had nothing to say about videotaping.
Right. I was
so
going to get.
How are you going to make a determination?
I can do it separately, but we also have public that want to speak on this motion and support. Yeah, so I can do them separately, or we can put them.
So we have to ask
Thornton.
They got a little bit for public comment.
That our IT looks at the live stream portion.
Yes.
So yes.
Okay.
Clarification, I'm sorry. So you're saying look at and see if we could do live streaming
yes.
with that program?
Yes.
Just want to get clarification. Thank you.
All right, now in public.
That was going to be kind of my question. As a local business owner and a mother and a precinct delegate trying to help support individuals in our community that can't get here physically or figuratively, I wanted to find out how we were going to be able to support them to make these live stream. With how everything else is available, when that was going to happen. I can only be here for a bit trying to find a babysitter, so I wanted to make sure I had the opportunity to ask that. So, kind of along her, yeah.
And who, thank you I'm for sorry, what was your name?
Sorry, my name is Kristen Howard. Thank you.
Thank you, yes. Are there any other public comments on this? So would the board prefer me to take both motions separately or put them together?
I'm okay if you do them all at once.
Yeah, all at once.
So there's a motion and support to approve past photography to videotape Board of Trustees meetings in the amount of $300 per meeting with the friendly amendments that it be for 6 months as a pilot project and that IT also looks at live streaming the board meetings. Yeah. Well, they're going to research. Yeah. All right, so is it clear?
Yes.
We have a motion, and so thank you, trustees, for the suggestions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Under authorization and bids, we have the accept the bid from Rover Geospatial for GIS consulting services in the amount of $73,650, which is budgeted for 2026, and $3,900 per year will be budgeted for 27 and 2028. A motion is in order. Motion Rowe.
Support.
Support Eldridge. Yes.
Good evening, Madam Chair. Good evening to the entire board. My name is Myla Harris. I am the purchasing agent for Ypsilanti Township. This agenda item is a request for a board approval related to the GIS consulting services RFP. The deputy assessor, Brian McCleary, is here to present the recommendation, and also a representative from Rover Geospatial is present to respond to any questions the board may have.
Thank you. Brian, would you just like to, we authorized the bids in December, I think it was, is that?
It was. Actually, October of last year, okay. We authorized. So just kind of recap, in what's been about a year-long process almost, Ypsilanti Township is currently using an ArcMap program from ESRI, and after March of this year, they're no longer going to be able to support that software. In speaking with our IS manager, Travis McDougall, he does not feel very comfortable about having software out there that's not supported as far as the software itself and our data. So he kind of recommends that we move to a different software. The next software that the ESRI would have is the ArcPro, and this upgrade would require us to migrate our software, create new parcel fabric, and create the COGO conversion, which is coordinated geometry. It's basically just fixing our data to the new software and making our maps accurate. So basically the RFP, these bids, through this process, we've, from October till now, we received 15 bids, and Planning Director Mark Gandrick and myself reviewed those bids, and as described in our memo, basically how we analyzed, and we came to that we felt that Rover Geospatial was the best consultant and the best bid for us as far as knowing our data, and it was just the best fit. So at this point, we had request that the board approve Rover Geospatial for that bid. And Mr. Rover is here. I can introduce if there's any, after any questions or.
Brian, this is for like all of our lots and for assessing, right?
Yeah, it's all our mapping program. So any parcel, we have roughly 18,000 parcels. They're on a parcel tax map. I'm sure you've seen them. We've sent them out to the board before. But all of those parcels are all created. It's not a survey, but they have survey points in it, and it's drawn up to scale. And it's an elaborate process that we need to keep going and update. And if our software is no longer viable and it's no longer supported, then we might have problems with our data, so we need to migrate to the new software.
Questions or comments on that?
Go ahead.
Trustee Rowe.
Thanks, Brian. Mm-hmm. My question is, so there's an extreme difference in the bids.
Yes.
So what was the, because we, I could, maybe it's in the packet and I missed it, the original, what was sent out to RFP?
Right, so the board approved.
I didn't see the RFP.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. The board approved the RFP and it was sent out. We did receive bids from actually outside the country, all over the country, and a few in Michigan. But we also made it available that these companies could view our data and can kind of get an idea of what our data looks like and what was required to be completed. Not everybody took advantage of that, and those that did made a difference, and those bids were relatively grouped around each other. I had one bid from outside the country for like over $500,000. They've not seen our data. They're just throwing a number out there. I've had a bid from Florida that was $18,000, and they can do it in 4 weeks, but they haven't seen our data. They don't know what needs to be completed, so.
So what my question though is, what was the RFP for?
It was for. I included it on.
Is it here? Did
yes.
I miss it?
Mm-hmm. It is for converting, basically migrating the data to the new software. It's for converting the data and creating a parcel fabric, which is new to the new software. Doing COGO line conversions, which is survey points, and then there's cleanup. It's been many years since our data has been reviewed and had a GIS consultant looking at it. So it's basically reviewing our data and cleaning it up. And so it's that type of work that's just kind of working through our data and making it accurate and making it fit into the new software.
So just, I know that some of the firms on here are very well known that we've worked with for off and on
yes.
for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were half the bid. So,
mm-hmm. so
how did you determine?
Yeah.
Like,
there were a lot of good companies that did bids. Not saying anything negative against them, but they didn't fit. They weren't the best fit for us. I know there's one from Atwell from Ann Arbor. They're good. They wanted to have a relationship. They're an engineering company and a surveyor in Ann Arbor, and. They want to have a relationship with the township as far as engineering goes. When we looked at their bid, the people doing the work are coming from Texas. They're a national company. So that was one consideration. Another consideration is when they did their bid, they gave us a dollar amount, but they didn't give us a breakdown of all the work they're doing and the price per item, such as Rover has done. They give us our deliverables and the amount of.
Was that required in the bid? In the
yes,
proposal?
We requested that. But
so then
they
why
just
weren't they just thrown out as not being, acceptable bid, that they didn't meet the qualifications? Because that would have been easier to understand, because...
Well, everybody that had a bid is on that sheet, so, and then they're analyzed, and so they're, and they're scored. The other thing is Atwell didn't provide a completion date, so we had no idea. So we scored them, but again, we didn't throw anybody away. We just kind of analyzed them all and chose the top few, and then you've seen the top two picks that were the people that had our data, and those bids were pretty competitive, and we felt comfortable with Rover Geospatial.
I don't understand why you even went through a bid when they didn't qualify. That's what's throwing me off with all these numbers and stuff.
So like they...
And I know maybe things have changed.
So it's not that
normally,
they,
if you didn't if you didn't meet the specs on the bid,
right,
and you missed a piece of it, you didn't do the, one of the things you said they had to do specific line items, and they didn't do that, then...
They didn't meet the minimum bid.
Right.
Thank you. I wouldn't say they... I wouldn't specify that they didn't meet the minimum bid requirement, yeah, because those items they did, but they didn't break down, and you know, everything they did, and it went to the score as far as our confidence level in what they're...
Did you require, or is that a requirement of the bid, that breakdown?
I don't have that in front of me.
I don't think you can disqualify. You can't...
Yeah, I understand what you're
saying. I'm not
following
that.
You're
saying
that
they didn't meet that, but yet you're not required to meet that.
Yeah.
But you use that to rate
them. But it went to the scoring, right?
It's just that's a huge difference in the bids. They're all over the place.
It was. And
just makes me, like, it's just weird.
Right. And we felt that, I think we said in our memo, the ones from the low 30s and lower really didn't reflect what our data and what we were requiring as far as what our needs were. And I think that was based on not having looked at our data and know what exactly we needed completed.
Was that a requirement?
To get our data, no, but it certainly made a difference.
But like, see, that's what I'm saying, is you're using something against somebody, but yeah, you didn't require that. I mean, if someone bids something and say, I can meet your bid, and they meet all the qualifications, to say because they didn't go into more detail when you didn't require it, and so you give them different point factors on that. So in the, was this point system, is because I'm, and I apologize, I didn't realize RFPs, and that's in the RFP, this point system?
So, Mark
Yander. Sorry, and you are?
Mark Yander, Planning Director. I just wanted to kind of follow up on some of Brian's things. The Atwell bid and some of the other bids did not at all address the cleanup that is needed for this project. So, as these digital files for the parcel layers are not in a parcel fabric, which he mentioned, and there is an entire process. It uses COGO, the potential bidder, you know, that's here tonight can go into more of that process. But the cleanup aspect of it was included in a lot of the bids, but these bids that came in at $18,000, $32,000 really were not addressing the process to clean up the existing parcel base. And I think when Brian and I were reviewing these bids, it didn't seem like it was fully encompassing what was being requested in the RFP, and it could create a dangerous situation that they're only doing part of the job or not really understanding the full scope of what is being asked in the RFP.
And I think, I won't speak for Trustee Roe, but what she's recommending is that you say why they weren't, or don't put them on the list. It's because they didn't meet the specific qualifications that you had asked for.
Well, at that point, I was instructed to put all of the bids on the list. And if we received a bid, to put it on there and put it.
Madam Chair. Yeah, Brian, is this the same thing Travis been talking about 6 months, that he needs to clean up all the software?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so, right?
Yeah, it may be a portion of it. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it was in
that.
His budget to do this.
Well, it was.
So, yes,
that
he
specific
did speak
one,
about
yes.
doing it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you're correct, Trustee Peterson.
And I thought it was. Also, my question is, I see, and I did read it at home. I have my computer, but... I see you had said that you had so many bids out of town, and you don't think they were qualified, they don't know what our needs were. And I believe the gentleman here in the back, is that correct? Is that him?
Mr. Rover, yes.
Okay, my question, where is his company at? And did he do a survey at the township of our needs? Did his company?
Yes.
Okay.
He did, and he's going to, I'm going to introduce him, he'll speak, but he's from Dayton, Ohio, and he's actually got our data and looked through and actually was able to determine what data needed to be corrected and fixed.
And you felt this was the best company because he had looked at everything?
Yes, very comfortable.
And he understands our...
Yes.
How we do things, right?
Right.
As far as data and all that.
Right, and the corrections that we need to do, yes.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
Just background, like background about them?
Mark, do you...
Like, are they, who else have, have they done this for? Other communities?
Sure. So as part of this process, I just want to start out with Brian and I last summer met with two different companies. One was Rover and Associates, who is here tonight. The other one was Bruce Harris. And we actually did this to scope, before this even comes to the board, you know, what are we looking at for this project in terms of price? What are we looking at for technology, process, timing? And Larry was one, gave us an opinion, and then we got a second opinion to help move forward. I know Larry professionally. I've known him probably since about 2010. When I worked for City of Centerville, Ohio, I was a city planner. He was the IT director and did an excellent job, more than excellent job there. Previously, I've known him to be the IT director of City of Hamilton, but also be very involved in both the state and local GIS organizations down there. He's got a very good reputation for doing good work, being a great communicator, and being very fair with everyone that he has. And so he has since gone into his private consulting firm since I worked with him at Centerville and would be an excellent resource here. And he has a great reputation that I think could do great work here.
Madam Chair, I have one more question.
Trustee Peterson.
So it's the amount for the services of $73,650. Now, on the other end, it says, and $3,900 per year. So are we paying that $76 and you have a fee per year of $3,009?
So part of the RFP was to do a bid for what we needed completed this year, and then for maintenance service going forward. For it, we have land divisions where we take splits, dividing properties up, and we need new parcels. And if there's any data corrections or errors on the parcels. And so a maintenance agreement on a yearly basis.
$3,900.
Right, $3,900. So that is a part of that bid, but we're going to go out every year for our budgeting and go through the budget approval process for that. But that was part of the bid, so that was...
It's the maintenance of it.
It's the maintenance,
which is what we do for all our software.
Right.
I understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions or comments on this?
Hi, Myla Harris. I just wanted to make clear up the confusion, if there's any, in regards to why all of the bidders were listed. Under my recommendation, I chose that all bids are listed for transparency and completeness of the procurement record. The financial policy and the best procurement practice require us to document who responded to the RFP and to show that the recommendation was made after reviewing all proposals received. So listing all bids allows the board to see the full range of responses and confirm that the selection was based on the evaluation criteria, not just price alone. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none? Oh, I have one.
Good. You have a question? So I'd like to introduce Larry Rover.
Hi. Nice to meet everyone. If you all have any questions, please let me know. A little bit of background on myself. I've been in IT and GIS for about 20 years. Rover Geospatial, we're Esri business partner. I'm familiar with all of this, the data, I've used it, I've worked with it for a long time, and it's something that is passionate about me, which is why I opened the company. I had a passion for local government, but then realized, oh, there's this need for, you know, companies who support and who experts in local government, specifically within GIS and IT services. So that's why I started my company several years ago, and why I'm in front of you today. So thank you for the opportunity. And yeah, if you have any questions, please let me know.
Are there any questions for the potential? All right.
Thank you again.
And,
I appreciate it.
My only request is the contract be reviewed by Attorney Winters.
I'm sorry. That is something that I failed to mention, that we did receive the contract from Rover Geospatial late yesterday. So it is contingent upon council review. Thank you.
Thank you. So could that be a friendly amendment that it be contingent upon attorney's review, which we do often?
Yes.
That would be Roe and Eldridge?
Yes.
Roe says yes?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion to accept the bid for $73,650, which is budgeted in the 2026 budget, and $3,900 per year to be budgeted for 2027 and 2028. Contingent upon the attorney's approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Did I miss
it? Yeah, I have one question. Maybe it's
Mr. Winters?
Because the contract will be coming my way, it sounds like, pretty soon. I'm just trying to understand, because these terms are somewhat confusing to me in regards to what this contract will entail, but I'm somewhat kind of intrigued by the one paragraph on page 3 that says to reduce operational risk associated with the March 2026 end of ESRI support for ArcMap 10.82, Rover proposes an initial lift and shift migration to ArcGIS Pro prior to the support deadline. This approach allows the township to transition immediately into a supported environment while completing geometry cleanup. I guess my question is our data going to be taken from its current location in the township and lifted to Rover? I don't quite understand what that
means. So it's we'll work with a copy of it, but what's essentially happening in a lift and shift is you have other parts of the proposal that goes into upgrading, doing the COGO process, all of those things. Lift and shift is a term within IT where you're taking the as is, how it is right now, with any flaws or anything that is missing in it, and you're moving it to, so right now it is supported within ArcMap, which is a specific Esri desktop software. Their newer version is ArcGIS Pro, which is the latest. The end of life for the ArcMap software is in March, which it will no longer have any security updates, which is why it could be a risk for the IT department here. So what we're doing is we're just putting it in the format that the ArcGIS Pro allows for. Once that's done, then we can then move on with the COGO and the other and actually updating it and cleaning up the process. So it's a way of getting you into the latest and greatest software so that you're compliant with IT, but being able to still work and do the upgrades as the process lays out. Because it takes a little longer for the actual updates to occur.
Hopefully the contract will have a great definitional section, because I'm not sure all these.
Oh, we can add that, yeah, for sure.
I really understand, but lift and shift sounds kind of different.
Yeah.
Lift and shift.
Different language, for sure. I know.
Use with bait and switch.
Yeah. We know a bait and switch. We just don't know.
So is it just for clarity? We have to do this by March of this year.
So when speaking with Travis McDougall, IS manager, he stated that that's the deadline, that it's not being supported, and he's just not going to take it off, remove the software, but he's recommending we do it as fast as possible.
That's what I thought.
Which was one of my panics last year, is like, you're just not going to remove our software. And so he said he recommends we get it done as soon as possible.
Got it. So we have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is public comments. If you would give your name, you have 3 minutes per person. Are there any public comments?
Hi again. Kristen Howard, Precinct Delegate in Precinct 9. So here's my dilemma. Do you guys all know the program FlexRide that is offered through the AATA? Essentially, it's for individuals that are in areas that don't have a bus that actually can go right past their neighborhood. You have the ability to order a ride to come pick you up and take you to another place that is serviced by the ride. So here is my dilemma. I realize you guys don't have the map in front of you. Right now, the program I'm looking at for the FlexRide East covers everywhere in Ipsy Township from Hitchingham to Rawsonville, all the way up to, it looks like, 94 down to Bemis. My dilemma, including a half of my precinct, of Precinct 9, is everywhere from Munger to Hitchingham is completely left out. So Precinct 6, Precinct 9 and 10, their entire section is left out. So if there are kids that are over in West Willow, Ford Road, that area, that want to go over to Rolling Hills Water Park, they order the ride, they get taken over to the water park, they're kind of stuck. They can't get home because that program won't pick them up. What I'm asking you and your help today, how do we resolve that? I realize you guys don't have the opportunity to tell AATA what to do. However, I would love your support in making that happen. There are many individuals in my community that are kind of stuck, especially in our condos with older residents, and I'm sure they'd love the ability to go out to other places if we had those services available.
Thank you.
Hello there. Is that good? Usually taller for me. Hi there, Andrea Pierce, 1188 Juno. I'm also a precinct delegate over at by Galt Village. I came to talk about two things. I'm going to make it kind of quick because, I only got 3 minutes. I'm here about the data center. Obviously, I'm concerned that I'm reading, and then I went to the community, I don't know if you can call it community, it was more or less U of M's Los Alamos Pony Show. They had a little play cards up and everything, and they told us what they wanted us to hear. But one of the questions that was asked is, will there be nuclear weapons? And the answer was yes. There will be nuclear weapons. That is a priority, that they are going to be researching and constructing nuclear weapons in Ypsilanti Township. Now, I've been reading newsletters and papers and everything and articles that are coming up now that I'm more concerned now about nuclear weapons. And I'm finding out that U of M and Los Alamos are now neither confirming nor denying that they will be producing plutonium pits, which go with the nuclear weapons. Okay? So when they say neither confirm nor deny, that means they're doing it or they're planning to. It's always been that way in my book. So that's something I am really concerned about, is nuclear weapons in our town. It's not just, before it started off with the water, the air, the land, the electricity, but now we've got a real threat, nuclear weapons in Ipsy Township. To me, this is also, they're going to be working on surveillance. They're going to be housing all the information from our phones, our TVs, and everything. We're going to be turning into a police state. All right? We don't need this here. Do everything in your power to get it out of here. Everything.
Thank you.
Seriously. Part two, can I do part two real quick? Okay, thank you. Ice is all over Ipsy Township. I'm getting messages all day long about ice being sighted here, being sighted there, bothering kids at school, taking parents. What are we going to do to protect the citizens of Ipsy Township from ice? what's the plan? Are we blocking them out of eating here? Are we stopping them from staying in hotels? Are we making rules where they can't come to places and bother people? We're going to need some help here, because it's going to turn into just like in Minnesota. We don't want that in Michigan either. You know, this is a beautiful place, and we need to protect our citizens. We need to protect our land, our water, and stop nuclears. Really, we're just being bombarded every day here.
Agreed. Thank you.
So please, consider doing something to protect us from ICE.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a hard act to follow. My name is Dirk Mayhew. I'm from Ann Arbor. Thanks for letting me speak, Ipsy Township Council. I'm here tonight because I'm very involved with elections. I've been on board of canvassers. I've worked with Elections Commission, precinct chair, all that kind of stuff. And a bunch of my friends, asked my opinion on ACLU attacking your local clerk. So I got a lot of opinions about that. And if ACLU were here, I'd tell them, you're doing it wrong. Like, that's not helpful. If you got an issue, you know, elections are big, complicated machines. There's always stuff that gets sideways, and there's always room for improvement, but you pick up the phone. You don't blow things up in public before you even know half the stuff you're kind of vaguely accusing. Anyway, that's the ACLU. To y'all, you know, it's not the problem. It's like, what do you do about it? What I'm doing about it is I'm here tonight to say, please join with the rest of the clerks in combined early voting. It's cheaper to team up with the rest of the clerks in the county. It's easier. It's less work. Many hands make light work. And most importantly, and this is why I'm here, when things go wrong, your clerk isn't twisting in the wind playing solo defense. We're all in it together. All the townships teamed up. It tends to, you know, many, many eyes on the thing tends to help, but just the idea that you can single out one person in a big state, 10 million people, and, you know, 1,500 clerks or something, and then make a press conference about that and erode people's faith, not just in that clerk, but in the neighboring communities, erode faith in the election itself. Super unhelpful, and I think we need to team up, and that's my plea to you, is please consider joining with the rest of the county for the 9 days of early voting. Very burdensome on the clerks. Again, lots of stuff to do. It's less work, less money. And when things go wrong, because they do, you're not on your own. Thanks.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any other public comments?
Jeremy Haley, resident. Thank you for your attention to the data center. I know it was wild in the beginning. Now it's kind of come to some sense of what's going on, which is we know nothing. The other question is the redesign on the courtroom, the entrance. As a person in a wheelchair goes up the ramp, they go to push the button. Which way does that door open? If you're on the inside, I believe it opens to your left, right? So the person in the chair is literally sitting in front of the door as it opens. So I saw a person standing between the door frame and the edge of the concrete. It's only one width of a person wide. So was that enough room for a chair to hit the button back up enough time without falling off the back of the concrete, which is short with no rail? Or going down the set of steps backwards. I'm just saying, I keep looking at it going, who designed that? Question. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll look into that. So is there any other business?
Hi, Regina Kudla, and I just want to thank you all again for all the hard work and the meetings and everything that you conducted with the public. And I want to say that it was just brilliant the way it was recorded, because then we could really get it out there and get it passed on to people who needed to hear our side of the story. So thank you very much. That was great, great work.
Thank you. So. Are there any other public comments? Hearing none, there's no other business. Are there any board member comments? Hearing none, a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion Eldridge?
Support.
Support Thornton. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.